We're in chapter Yud Aleph, Mishnah Hey. Says the Mishnah, Kohenes Shinis Arev Vlada Bevlad Shivchasa. The case over here is going to talk about Kohenes here means the wife of a Kohen, and she has a child, and that child, that boy, gets mixed up with the son of her slave woman. So one is the son of her slave woman, one is her son. We don't know which one is which. What's a din? Elu ochlin betruma. The first din the Mishnah tells us is that both of these boys, boy A and boy B, were mixed up and we don't know their identity and their yichus. They can both eat in truma. If that boy happens to be the son of a Kohen, so he eats because he's a Kohen. If he is the son of the slave woman, so then he is the slave of a Kohen. So he eats either way, so he's allowed to eat truma. Next din of the Mishnah is v'cholkim chelek echad begoren. If they come to the granary and they come to take their portion, so if they're coming together, they're allowed to take one portion at the granary. The reason is that this Tana holds that you're not supposed to give out truma to an eved. So, but since they come together, so we see that one of these is actually a ben kohen. He's actually the kohen, and he's the master. He's not the slave. So you can give one portion, but we're not going to give two because one of them is a slave. And this Tana holds we don't give out portions of the truma to a slave. The reason is because we may come to mix up his yichus, and then we could down the line have marriage problems because people make a mistake as to his identity. Continues the Mishnah of Einan mitmeim lemeisim. They are not allowed to become impure for the dead because the suffek, whether it's a kohen. Of course, if we knew which one was the slave, he would be allowed to become impure for the dead. But since we don't know, it's a suffek deraisa, we have to go lechumra. And we say neither of them, because they're a suffek if they're a kohen, are allowed to go and become impure. Ve'ein nosim nashim, ben ksheros, ben psulos. They're not allowed to marry women. They can't marry kosher women, they can't marry pasul women. Because if this guy's a Kohen, so he can't marry pasul women. He has to only marry kosher women. And if the guy's an Eved, he can only marry pasul women. He can't marry kosher women because the Eved's not supposed to marry. He's not allowed to marry a regular kosher woman. So therefore, these guys are both stuck. So they can't marry anybody. Continues the Mishnah in the story of these young men's lives and says, Higdilu hatarovis v'shichuru zeh. So now the boys get old enough that they can free each other. So they become older and they actually give each other a get shichur, and now they're both free. But of course now one is still a kohen, and one now is a freed slave. So now the Mishnah is going to talk with the dinim for this. They're both a suffek of which one of both of these situations. So now the Mishnah continues and says, Nosim nashim ru'uyos lekohuna. So first off, now they can get married, but they can only get married to women who are fitting for a Kohen to get married to, because they're a Safek Kohen. So, for example, a divorcee is out. V'einan mitmein lemeisim. They still cannot become impure for the dead, because Safek, if they're a Kohen. V'im nitmu einan sofkin es ha'arbayim. If they do go and become impure for the dead, so they do not get whipped. The deraisa punishment, the biblical punishment, would be for them to get whipped and have 39 lashes. 40. The Torah says 40, but the rabbis understood it as only meaning 39. They wouldn't get the lashes over here because they can always say I'm a suffek, so maybe I'm not. I'll tell you that I'm not a kohen. I'm actually the son of the slave woman who was freed. This continues the Mishnah of Einan ochlin betruma. They are now not allowed to eat in truma, because if they are Kohen, they're allowed to eat in truma, but if they're not a Kohen, and they're rather a freed slave, then they're not allowed to eat in truma, because they're free, they're no longer belonging to the Kohen. So because of this suffix, they're also to eat in truma. V'im achlu, einan mishalmim keren v'chomesh. Normally, if someone eats truma who's not allowed to, so the punishment monetarily is that they have to give the principal plus a fifth back. But over here, they don't have to repay that because they could say, I'm actually a Kohen. And since I'm actually a Kohen, I was allowed to eat it and I don't have to pay. So since it's a Safek, we're not going to take away the money in a Safek. Ve'einan cholkin al hagoren. And we're not going to give them their portion of truma at the threshing floor, at the granary, because we know that even if they come together, by the way, the chiddush over here is, even if they come together and we know that one of them is a Kohen and should get a portion at the granary of truma, still we're not going to, because we're worried that maybe the one who isn't a Kohen and isn't supposed to eat truma now because he's a freed slave, will come to eat it. So we're not going to give them anything, even if they come together. Mochrin es ha-truma v'hadamim shalahem. They're allowed to sell the truma, because they don't have to take off the truma and give it to a Kohen, because they can both say, misafik, they can say, I think I'm a Kohen. So they don't, out of that suffix, we won't make them give it. But they're not allowed to eat it. So what are they allowed to do? So they can sell the truma and keep the money. And again, we're not going to make them lose the money. We're not going to take that away from them, because we're not going to take it from them out of this doubt, out of suffix. Ve'einan cholkin b'kodshei hamikdash. They don't get to divide up the goods from the kodshim, from the holy sacrifices in the temple. For example, the skins, the kohanim that were in that mishmar, in that tour of duty at that time, that it was their turn to serve in the base of Mikdash, so they would split the skins from the sacrifices. But over here, this guy won't get to split, because they'll tell him, we don't think you're a Kohen. Go prove to us that you're a Kohen, and then you can take it. And he can't, so he can't take it. Ve'ein nosnim lehem kochim, and they don't give to him kochim, these animals, to go and sacrifice, because again, safek, he may not be a Kohen. And but they don't go and take kodshim out of his hand. For example, the Bartanura tells us, if this guy has a bechor, if he has an animal and the animal has a first born, and that was supposed to be taken out and given to a Kohen, but over here this guy can say, I am a Kohen, so he's allowed to keep it. Pturi min azroa umin alachayim umin akeva. They're potter from having to give these different parts of the animal that people had to give to a Kohen, the Zroa, the Lachaim, and the Keva, these different parts, again, of the animal. He's potter from giving that, because he can say, I don't have to give it to a Kohen, I'm a Kohen. So, misafek, he can keep it. Bechoro yeroe adji stayv. Now, his Bechor, like we said, he doesn't have to give it away, because he can say, I'm a Kohen, so he can keep it, but he can't go and sacrifice it and eat it, because he's not for sure a Kohen, so we're not going to allow him to eat it. So what does he do? He's stuck. He's allowed to keep it, because monetarily we're not going to take it away from him, but in terms of the Isser, we're not going to allow him to eat it, because it's going to be Kodshim, and he's a Suffolk that he's not a Kohen and won't be able to eat it. So what should he do? He should leave it out to pasture until it gets a mum, until it gets some defect, and then once it gets this defect, anybody's allowed to eat it, even if you're not a Kohen. So then he is allowed to eat it and enjoy his animal. V'nosnim alav chomrei kohanim v'chomrei yisraelim. Ends off the Mishnah by telling us that we give this guy the stringencies of being a Kohen and the stringencies of being a Yisrael. The Gemara tells us that this is talking about the case of a mincha offering, of a flour offering. So normally by a Yisrael, the way the flour offering was done was, first there was a kmitza taken. That was a handful of flour which was taken and offered, and the rest of the flour was then eaten by the Kohanim. But when the Kohanim would bring their mincha offering, it was fully burned. So over here we take chumrah from both sides. One chumrah is, like the Yisrael, we make you do a kmitza, and the handful has to get sacrificed. But like the Kohanim, we don't let the other Kohanim eat it, rather we burn the rest of it. That is what it means to give this guy the chumrah, the stringency of a Kohen and Yisrael. That's the end of Mishnah Hey. Mishnah Vav. It says Mishnah Vav, Mi shalo shahasa acha bala shlosha chodashim v'nises v'yalda v'ein yedua im ben tisha la'rishon im ben shiva la'achron. The case we're talking about here is a woman who did not wait the 3 months in between the first husband and the second husband. And therefore, we don't know if the child that she gave birth to, she happens to give birth to a child right at the time when this child is a suffek, whether he is born in the 9th month and belongs to the first husband, or born in the 7th month and belongs to the second husband. So what's going to be the din with this child who is a suffek, which father he has? Hayula bani min arishon ubani min asheni. If this woman had other sons from the first husband and other sons from the second husband, that means that this guy who's a suffek has brothers on both sides. So what's the din then if we have a yibum situation? So the other brothers will do chalitza, but they cannot do yibum. The reason is because this guy, this suffek, for sure is a brother of theirs through the mother. But it's a suffek whether he's a brother of theirs through the father. So a brother through the mother, his wife is going to be an eshes ach. Eshes ach is an iser erva, which gets kares. So they cannot marry his wife. The only way to marry his wife is with a heter of yibum. But yibum only is when they're paternal brothers. But here we have a suffek whether they're paternal brothers, because we don't know who this guy's father is. Therefore, because of the suffek, they have to do a chalitza, but they cannot do a yibum, because the yibum holds the possibility that they're actually doing an iser erva of having relations with their brother's wife. V'chein hu lahem, similarly him back to them, he has to be choletz and not miyabim, because he has the exact same problem towards them. Hayu lo achim min arishon v'achim min asheni, shalom me'osa ha'em. Now what happens if he has brothers through the first father, who's suffek that that's his father, and brothers through the second father, suffek that that's his father, but they're not maternal. And the first father had other children through a different woman, and the second father had other children through a different woman. So now there's no chance that these men are his maternal brother, but there is a suffek whether they are his paternal brother or not. So says the din in this case is the Mishnah, hu choletz umiyabim, vehem echad choletz veechad miyabim. He does chalitza or yibum, whichever one he wants, to them, to their wives, if one of them dies. The reason is because if they are his paternal brother, so yibum, great. If they are not his paternal brother, then they're not his brother at all. And if they're not his brother at all, so fine. So he just married a woman who had no relation to him. The Bar Nora points out over here that we have to be talking about a case where there's no other brothers, because if there was another brother, then he would have a problem over here of a shomeris yavam l'shuk, meaning a shomeris yavam. If there was any other yavam over here, she's not allowed to just go marry whoever she wants. So on the side of the suffek, this guy has no relation to her, so he would still be doing an isser because he would be marrying a woman who was really a yavama and should have been waiting for her yibum from another guy. So he must be talking about a case where there are no other brothers. There's one son from the first father, one son from the second father, and this guy is a suffek which way he goes. But again, those two brothers are not, even though they're suffek paternal brothers, they are definitely not a suffek maternal brothers. Therefore, he can do yibum to either of their wives if they pass away, because on the side to say he's their brother, he did a good yibum. On the side to say he's not their brother, so then he just married this woman who had no relation to him, and that's fine. For them, if he should die and leave a woman in yibum, so one of them has to do chalitza and one of them can do yibum. But the chalitza has to come first, because if the chalitza doesn't come first, so then we would have a problem of a shomeris yavam l'shuk, because his wife is a shomeris yavam to somebody. We just don't know which one of these brothers, because we don't know whether he was the first husband's son or the second husband's son. Therefore, if the first one gives a chalitza, so now the second one has a good mamanav shach. If they were brothers paternally, he did a good Yibum. And if not, so he married this woman who has no relation to him, and that's fine because she already got Chalitza from the other brother who would have been the Yavam. That's the end of Mishnah Vav.